I pray that you will be with all the prayer needs and all the hurt that's in the church right now. And I pray that you would be with all those who can make it and all those who can't, that you keep them safe and that you would guide their hearts and minds. I pray that you would prepare us for the service and that we'll be able to take what we learned today and use it in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would y'all stand with us? We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggar, now we're accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars,
now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
There's joy in this house.
We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Romans 10:10 says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." I hope and pray that you have made that decision this morning, and if you haven't, make it today. Sing with me as we sing, "I Got Saved."
There's a river of gladness that pours from
from Emmanuel's veins. This sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past broken at last, I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me His heart,
oh, and pardoned me.
The love of God won't let me stay the same.
Never will I be the same.
The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
I'm undone
by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the
Lord.
I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
I've got
Jesus. How could I want more?
I've got
Jesus. How could I want
Now, it works when you turn it on, Ben, if I turn it on. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're part of our early contemporary worship. And all of you that are guests, it is a holiday weekend. So typically on these holiday weekends, we have people that are visiting with us. And so glad you're here and a part of our time of worship. Walk around. Welcome your friends. Good to have you today.
Thank you.
Y'all may be seated.
Ushers, if you'll come. Father, we thank you so much for the beauty of this day and the opportunity, Father, for the body of Christ to join together as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up our hearts, our minds, bodies, our souls, everything that we are, everything that we have, to lift it to you in worship, Father. Thank you for the opportunity of worship. Thank you for the opportunity of giving, of joining you in our hearts and in our minds and in our physical lives as well in this thing called the mission of carrying the gospel to a world that is desperate and getting more desperate by the day. Thank you, Father, that we are light in darkness. Join us, Father, as we worship you. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Forever a holy God, come and worship. Lord, we just praise you in this moment that we can come before a holy God, greater than anything we can ever imagine, but you still choose us, God. You have saved us. You want to be in relationship with us, Lord. You want to walk with us every step of this life, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we pray that you will just speak to us this morning. Just draw us closer to you. We each come here with different struggles, different needs, different hurts, Lord. But you are a God of healing and restoration. You are a God that is wanting to make us whole. And we praise you. Speak through Joel. Open our hearts to you and your truth, Lord. Use him. Guide us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, praise team. Well, as you can see, Ken and Tammy are gone for the holiday weekend. So thankful for the praise team. Thankful for Carson Brown. Carson just fills in for Ken and just does such a great job. And so thankful for Carson. I mean, we got to work on his hair situation. But other than that, everything else is just really, he still thinks that hair thing looks good. So we'll go with that. So be in prayer for Ken and Tammy as they are gone away from us for the holiday weekend. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Actually, in a few minutes, I'll read the whole passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 7. But verse 7 is our verse, and that's where we're going to really focus in on today. A few weeks ago, we finished a short little series on Hebrews chapter 11. So we jumped on Hebrews chapter 11 in our Wednesday night study of Hebrews. And we jumped on at Hebrews 11 for Sunday mornings. And I think it was 5 Sundays that we just kind of walked through, verse by verse, Hebrews chapter 11. The great chapter of faith. The wall of faith. The cloud of witnesses that are encouraging us in the new covenant. They are encouraging us as we follow Christ. And so all of these great, incredible, powerful characters of faith. Why did they have faith? What was it about the Father? The Messiah had not yet come. They were looking forward to the Messiah. And yet, even looking forward to the Messiah, they still put their faith and their trust in the arrival, the coming of the Messiah. And so they lived with this thing called the power of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, Moses, Noah, on and on the list goes. King David, I mean, the list goes on and on. So they lived by their faith. They walked life by faith. So then we talked about what does it mean then for a believer looking back to the Messiah and what he's already given to us, if they could live by faith, by looking forward to what had not yet happened, how much more so should we as followers of Jesus Christ now follow the Father looking back, because we've seen it. We know that it happened. So what does it mean then to have real, true, authentic, biblical faith? Not this cheap version of faith that we see in the evangelical world today. God, things drive me crazy. Have y'all ever noticed that? That there are things about the church, the body of Christ, believers, that just send me through the roof. One of the things that drives me insane as a follower of Jesus Christ, following the truth claims of Scripture, one of the things that drives me insane, nuts, is how we have so missed this beautiful thing called the power of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. We'll talk about that today. The power of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And then we live life by faith, not by sight, but by faith. And how we have so messed that up as sinful human beings, even in the evangelical world, when we have this idea that faith is simply nothing more than currency to get what we want from God, all the greed of sinful humanity, even Christians. Well, I want this and I want that, and how do I get it? I get it by having faith. If I'll have more faith, God, Santa Claus, will give me all the things that I want. How we just so cheapen faith for what it really, really, really is. This idea, you go to Walmart and you've got to have currency in order to buy the toiletry items that you want. Then the evangelical world makes faith something so cheap, and that's all faith is. It's just currency. It's what you have to have in order to get what you, greedy, want from God. And if you'll just have enough faith, God will be obligated to get you what you want in life. Well, we went through Hebrews 11 because what we really want is real, authentic, biblical faith for the good times and for the bad times, not just for what God can do for us. So today we're going to add to that, and we're going to hear Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." I grew up with this verse this way: I walk by faith and not by sight. So when Paul says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing," we walk by faith and not by sight, it does not mean that there were never any evidences, visible evidence, nor does it mean that there are no visible evidences today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and then later by all the apostles." The psalmist in the Old Covenant says it this way: "The heavens proclaim the glory of the Lord. The skies display his craftsmanship." So when Paul says we live by believing, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by seeing, what does he mean? Well, as with any other passage of Scripture, we need to take it in its context. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down," that is, when we die and we leave this earthly body, "the body returns to the dust of the ground, the spirit returns to God." We hear that in Ecclesiastes. "We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan, we sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this. And God has guaranteed this by giving to us the power of the Holy Spirit." Man, that is so key for how we live by sight, by faith and not by sight. The guarantee is God gives to us the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. And our verse for the day: "For we live by believing and not by seeing." So yes, Jesus was seen with physical eyes. Yes, He performed signs and He performed wonders and miracles and He preached sermons and He walked daily with these 12 friends called the apostles, and He had a mom and a dad, and He lived life and people saw that and He appeared to many. But now He's gone from sight. We no longer can see Him physically with our eyes. When Paul says we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, that is, for now, we do not see Him. Our body groans. Our body sighs. We long for something bigger, something better. We don't even see the full effect of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we have this Holy Spirit living in us as a pledge, as a guarantee. So God had to give us something to guarantee for us what He teaches us in His Word. And what He gives to us as a guarantee, a down payment, then is the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And that will bring to us the future glory of God Himself. So, in what sense do we live by faith and not by sight? First of all, we live by faith because of the visible acts of God in Jesus through belief in His Word. That is to say, we look at His Word and we see what God has done for us all the way from Genesis to Revelation and what is the future that is to come. Second, we live by faith because of these compelling testimonies of the apostles and these eyewitnesses. But how do we know for sure? An unbeliever would say, how do I know that the apostles and these eyewitnesses were telling the truth? Even Paul says in Romans, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we have already have something, then we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Peter says it this way, you love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And so Paul gives the answer. God Himself has guaranteed this with the power of the Holy Spirit. I have never seen Jesus in the flesh. But the power of the Holy Spirit has enabled me to see with the eyes of faith and the witness of testimony of the Scripture. I live by faith and not by sight. In his classic, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis's senior devil talks to his nephew Wormwood about their mutual enemy, the Lord. Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never in greater danger than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending to do our enemy's will, looks around upon the universe from which every trace of God seems to have vanished, asks, why have I been forsaken, and yet still obeys. When our pit is deep and God seems to be nowhere around, when our prayers rebound like empty echoes, what then? No longer desiring. All positive emotions are shut down, but still intending. Nothing left except the sheerest of gutsy faith we can muster to just stay afloat. When it doesn't even feel real anymore, we trust by faith and nothing else, we still obey. Our senses get distorted, he says. Even numbed in life's pits, we begin doubting the reality of God's Word and our standing with Christ. Believing our emotional pain is evidence that we're lost and the things of life are hopeless. These desert seasons leave us feeling distant, alienated from God. Such sensations appear credible to pit dwellers, while thinking and speaking faith sounds and feels unconvincing. But the enemy knows his cause is never in greater danger than when a child of God looks around upon a universe from which every trace of God seems to have vanished, asks, why have I been forsaken, God? And yet, in the midst of all of that, still believes. It's called a guarantee, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called faith. I cannot fulfill the demands of Scripture. I can't even begin to fulfill the demands of Scripture without faith. The writer of Hebrews said to us a few weeks ago, it is impossible to please God. That is, it is impossible to live for God in the world that I live in. It is impossible to do that without faith. You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. I cannot fulfill the demands of Scripture without faith. I can't do it. I cannot look at this world any longer
without faith. I cannot watch another newscast without faith. I cannot watch the news in the morning unless I have the eyes of faith. I cannot look at this crazy nut job world that I now live in that is insane without knowing, God, by faith, you're going somewhere with this. Because the world I live in is crazy. And I can't live in it another day without the eyes of faith. And I hope you see that. I can't preach another sermon. I can't preach another funeral without faith. I can't do that anymore without being able to see beyond that brother or that sister in Christ, literally, most of the time, right there in front of me. I can't preach another funeral without faith. And I end all funerals the same way with John 11. And I do that for the family, sure, because I want the family to see something beyond their loved one right there. And I do that for the body of Christ, for those of us who are here to celebrate what God has done in this believer. But selfishly, I do it for me. Because I can't do that again. I can't preach another one without hearing Jesus say, Martha, he who lives and believes in me, even though he's going to physically die, he who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha said, yeah, I do. I believe you're the Christ. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. I walk by faith and not by sight. I live by believing and not by seeing. Father, thank you for a powerful word, simple little word. Paul says to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was a mess. They lived in a sinful world that makes ours look like we are religious. And in that sinful world, they struggled. Man, how do we live with faith in this crazy world? And so Paul gives them powerful truth. Now that truth is still just as evident and true to us today, 21st century America. So we hear the words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of faith. We live by believing, not by seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. May that powerful word today, Father, engulf us, embrace us, hold us as we literally walk by faith and not by sight. In Christ we pray. Amen. Lord, I need you as our invitation that we're going to sing. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, by faith, repented of your sin, trusting in Jesus, then that's exactly what you heard through the power of the Word today, and we encourage you to make that public today. If you need to join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Lord, I come. I come. find my rest without you. I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Please be seated for just a moment. I remember one day sitting in my office, and our children's minister at the time, Melanie Baker, came into my office and she said, "I need for you to sit down." And I said, "All right, are you sure?" She said, "I need for you to sit down." And I did. And then she looked at me across the desk and she said, "I'm pregnant." I said, "You're right. I'm glad I sat down." Well, and here she is, Anna Lee Baker. So Anna Lee is coming today saying she knows Christ as her Savior and Lord. Do we have a picture of the baptism? Do we have that? It's the very last slide. There we go. So Anna Lee has already trusted Christ as her Savior and Lord. Her Uncle Rick, who is behind me, baptized her. How sweet that is, all right? And so she's coming today saying, "I know Christ is Savior Lord. I follow Christ in believer's baptism, and I'm coming to make that public, church family, to join FBC right here at our church." So all in favor of that decision for Anna Lee, nobody opposed to that. So in just a moment when we're done, then you come by and you say a word of encouragement to Anna Lee as she comes to make that public today. All right, so we've got a lot of things going on for the fall, a lot that we've got to cover. So let's start. Go ahead. Seamless. Whitney Mastin starting this coming Wednesday night in the P27 Sunday School room. And sign-up sheet, ladies, on the old Lord's Supper table. If you need more information, contact Whitney, and she will let you know about that. It starts at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night. All right. Men's first prayer breakfast is Saturday, September 9, 7 to 8. And then they will do that on the first Saturday of every month from that point forwards. But this is our first one this coming Saturday, all right? Women's Fall Koinonia Recipe Swap is next Sunday, 6 p.m. You see that? Prepare a favorite dish, bring a recipe, and it'll be in the fellowship hall. So, ladies, that is next Sunday afternoon, evening at 6 p.m., all right? Children's Choir, not tomorrow, but the following Monday. Sign-up sheet on the Old Lord's Supper table. Also, sign-up sheet in the children's ministry and in the music suite. So, sign up for your child to be a part of children's choir, all right? The Western Roundup, all right, so you're not crazy. That is a video, and they are moving. The very first time I did this announcement, I didn't say a word because I looked up there and thought, God, it looks like Tim's moving. And he is. All right, so that Western Roundup is not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, 5 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. There's already about 60 or 70 signed up for that. That's going to be a fun night. All right, next. There you go. All right, so we got a couple of more things. We've got next Sunday, September the 10th, new Sunday school class led by Kevin and Amy Hawk for our young couples and our young singles. And there's already about 40 on roll for that class. People that we've identified, young couples and singles that are not in P27 or enrichment. They're not involved in any Sunday school. We're trying to help get them involved in a small group Sunday school. Kevin and Amy Hawk have agreed to lead that class, and that's going to be great. And probably we'll be meeting in the new large room above the fellowship hall. I think that's where it's going to be meeting. That'll be next Sunday and right after this time of worship. As a matter of fact, I would like to have, if you are in P27 Sunday school class, I am inviting you to meet me in the fellowship hall as soon as we finish our last song of celebration, which is Celebrate Jesus. I need some strong backs and some weak minds, and no place better than P27 to get that. Boy, I'll pay for that. Oh, man, I'm going to pay heavy for that. All right, so I need some of you young guys right there to meet me up there. We're going to take some chairs up there, and then I'll set it up later on this week. So I need some help and all that. It's time to nominate deacons and committee on committee members. Each member can nominate two for deacon, and you can nominate as many as you want for committee on committees. They will be submitted to the church office no later than Wednesday, September the 13th. And if you need to know who's already serving on committee on committees or serving as deacon so that you don't nominate people that are already serving, you can go to our website, go to ministry opportunities, and then it will show you a list of all of those who are already serving. So we've got also coming up the Andy Griffith Bible study that will start September the 12th, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. Not September the 12th, but September the 13th, excuse me. And that will be led by Jackie Hester and Tim Hayes. And there's a sign-up sheet for that as well. That is an old, really good, fun Wednesday night Bible study where you watch a little of Andy Griffith and then you talk about how that applies to our Christian lives. And it's really a good study. So that's on the old Lord's Supper table as well. Church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of Labor Day. We'll be back open Tuesday morning. All right. The pews are almost done. So that pew back there in the very back that Amanda, I think, is on. You're on the very back pew, Amanda? Yeah, there you go, Adela Kate. All right, that pew is not the right pew, and it's not anchored down yet. So perfect that Amanda is sitting on it. If it tumps over, you'll know. All right. And so somehow that's not the correct pew, but they went ahead and just sat it down. They did all this yesterday. They went and put it down, said it's okay to sit on, but we haven't anchored it because there's still some work left to be done on that. The one in the very back that looks like Andy and April maybe back there sitting on, it's done. It's good. It's anchored down and great. All of that is done. There's still a lot of cosmetic things that have to be done on it, but you can now, for those of you that want to go back and sit over on that side, it is anchored, it is done, it is finished. They'll come back and do some cosmetics, but it looks like we're about 99% done with all of that, and we're really, really, really grateful for that. A few more little things to be done, but we think that's going to be handled within the next several days. Wednesday night suppers have started back. This past Wednesday night, we had chicken fettuccine, and it was absolutely fabulous, and it was slammed in there. If you want to, your name to be on that list, call the church office on Tuesday, put your name on the list. If you need your name to go off the list, let us know. But it started out with a bang. Kids were running around everywhere. It was exciting to see everything and everybody back. And so, but once again, you want to be on that list. It's a lot of fun, and it's great, great, great food. All right, Warren.
Just want to say some thank yous to Terry and Greg for cooking for us. We've been having pizza every Wednesday night for 10 years now. 9 years. So just want to thank them for changing our food up. We had a Build Your Own Taco. So for those coming out of sports, I know we always have youth coming in hungry. So we're going to grill hot dogs and thank y'all for changing our food up and doing that for us. Thank you for Chad for yesterday and Jessica and Whitney for driving and had a great trip to Six Flags. So just hope y'all join us this Wednesday night for you.
All right. Be in prayer for Ken and Tammy as they are away. Thank you, Carson Brown, for leading us. And let's all stand and close by singing Celebrate Grace. Come say a word of encouragement to Anna Lee.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. The resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, come on, celebrate,
come on, celebrate
the resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate. Celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.